U.S. intelligence officials say that China and Russia are working together on issues, including a potential invasion of Taiwan.
In testimony to Congress, top officials said China and Russia were conducting joint exercises for the first time. This alliance is prompting the U.S. to revise its defense strategy, officials said. Let's hear from them.
We see China and Russia, even for the first time, exercising together in relation to Taiwan and recognizing that this is a place where China definitely wants Russia to be working with them, and we see no reason why they wouldn't. Ambitions, Beijing will continue to use its military forces to intimidate its neighbors and to shape the region's actions in accordance with the PRC's priorities, most obviously in relation to Taiwan as the PRC presses for unification.
The planning that we have to do includes confrontation on not just one front now, but the capabilities, the planning, the equipment, manpower that would be necessary for two different fronts simultaneously.
Even if Russia and China in a military force are not interoperable, they would certainly be cooperative, and we would need to take that into account in force structure and planning.
In related news, tensions in the South China Sea have flared up again. The Chinese Coast Guard confronted two Philippine vessels this week, battering them with water cannons. The two Philippine ships were on their way to deliver supplies to fishermen in the South China Sea. China's attack came as Manila and Washington carried out their annual joint military drills called Balikatan. For the first time, the exercises include a naval operation in the disputed South China Sea. At long last, Tainan has broken ground on a cross-harbor bridge in Anping District.
The Anping Fishing Harbor Cross-Port Bridge project underwent 10 unsuccessful tenders in 2 years, before finally being awarded to a contractor at the end of 2023.
At Friday's groundbreaking ceremony, Tainan Mayor Huang Weizhe said the bridge will drastically improve traffic in the Anping port area.
Led by Tainan Mayor Huang Weizhe, local lawmakers and community leaders prayed for a smooth start to construction. Anping Port's cross-port bridge will be built at a cost of 2.34 billion NT, provided by the central and local governments.
This project went through 10 tenders without a winner. A contract was awarded only in the 11th round of the tendering process. So this project is unique in that, first, it's exceptionally difficult to execute. Second, it underwent many tenders without success. Third, it will have a major local impact. And fourth, it requires a huge investment.
The new cross-port bridge will span 1,010 kilometers. It will start on the intersection of Shiping First Street and Chenping Road and reach the intersection of Yonghua Second Road and Anyi Road. Once complete, the bridge will divert traffic from Provincial Highway 17 and 86, easing congestion in the harbor area.
I hope that the next 44 months of construction will proceed smoothly. Ideally, we'll finish ahead of schedule. The goal is to open up another channel for traffic flow in Anping Port to improve urban transport for the people.
Tainan's Anping District is a well-known tourist site. It's home to a fishing port and a yacht pier, where traffic is currently limited to one direction only. The completion of the Cross Harbor Bridge will see the formation of a circular traffic network, greatly reducing congestion during holidays. Officials say the improved traffic flow will drive more growth in the local tourism industry.
Taiwan's 16th president and vice president will be inaugurated on May 20th. And for the first time, the event's state banquet will be moved from Taipei to the Formosa Yacht Resort in Tainan.
The menu for the evening was released on Friday. The banquet will feature 8 courses that incorporate ingredients from all 22 cities and counties. These dishes will be inspired by Taiwan's 5 major ethnic groups, the Minnan, Hakka, Mainlander, Indigenous, and New Immigrant. The banquet will be prepared by celebrated chefs, including the culinary director of a Golden Horse Awards gala. Together, they will showcase Taiwan's diversity and culinary culture to dignitaries from around the world. A body mass index of 28 is considered overweight, but that may be a good thing for people aged 80 and older. A new study shows that for this demographic, A BMI of 28 is associated with the lowest mortality risk.
According to physician Wong Pei-xuan, being thin can be detrimental for older adults as it weakens their ability to fight disease. But older adults should still pay attention to their waistline because with every 5-centimeter increase in waist circumference, the chances of dying from a heart disease will double.
In a hospital sports center, older adults follow a coach's instructions as they train the muscles of their hands and feet. Since muscle mass decreases with age, being either underweight or overweight can adversely affect health. So, what body shapes and body mass indexes help you to live the longest?
If you're carrying too much fat, it's not good for your body. Your BMI should at least be lower than 25, but as mine has dropped to 20, I am very afraid of the cold in the winter. A bit of extra weight in an older adult can reduce the mortality rate by 4.5%.
According to a study published in the European Heart Journal, a BMI that's overweight or mildly obese can benefit longevity in people aged 80 and above. For every increase in BMI of 1, the mortality risk is reduced by 4.5%. While a BMI of 28 is associated with the lowest risk of death, a slimmer waistline is also conducive to longevity. There is a positive correlation between waist circumference and deaths from cardiovascular disease. For every 5-centimeter increase in waist circumference, the risk of death from cardiovascular disease increases by 193%. Therefore, maintaining a plump body shape with a small waist could be optimal for longevity.
People aged over 65 years old should not be too thin. If they are too thin, they will actually lose muscle and some capital for fighting illness. Therefore, for these people, we can accept a BMI of around 27. If the waist circumference increases, the risk of cardiovascular diseases will markedly increase. Generally speaking, a woman's waistline should be less than 80 centimeters. Men's should be less than 90 centimeters.
Doctors say the secrets to longevity include daily exercise of 30 minutes, moderate strength training, and a diet rich in high-quality proteins such as eggs and milk. Don't forget to get enough sleep to increase your chances of a long and healthy life.
For the first time, the Society of Wetland Scientists annual meeting will be held in Taiwan this year.
Scheduled for November, the event will feature talks by wetland professionals and researchers, as well as field excursions to Taiwan's wetlands. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang has more.
Give me your thumb up, please.
The 2024 Society of Wetland Scientists annual meeting will be held in Taiwan in November. The Society's Asia chapter and the Taiwan Wetland Society have put together an event program that's centered on the theme Wetlands and Climate Change, Mitigation and Adaptation.
The topics that we'll focus on at this meeting will include certainly many things related to how to conserve wetlands in urban areas and cities so that they're valuable to people and serve important functions. Also, we'll be taking on topics related to climate change, how wetlands can store carbon, the best ways to make that happen, and then certainly something that I work on as well as climate adaptation. So basically, when we're conserving and managing wetlands, how do we take into account the tremendous changes that will be happening in now and moving forward in the next few decades?
What are wetlands and where can we find them?
The six-day event will feature talks by wetland researchers and professionals in the fields of blue carbon initiatives, sustainable resource use and development, net zero emissions planning, wetland sciences, and community-led resilience planning. Organizers have also planned field excursions to several of Taiwan's wetlands where migratory water birds reside.
The Interior Ministry's National Park Service lists 58 important wetlands and marine areas in Taiwan. We also have 9 national parks and 1 natural park. Scientists from all over the world can come to Taiwan to learn about our efforts in wetland conservation.
Why choose Taiwan? Well, certainly the wetland scientists who are based here in Taiwan have tremendous reputations and have been highlighting the importance of the work that goes on in Taiwan for many years. This is a great location to see some of the interesting, how people are grappling with some of the most important challenges.
The Society's annual meeting will take place in Taipei and Tainan from November 11th to 16th. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang and Ling Dawei in Taipei.
May 3rd marks World Press Freedom Day, when Chinese journalist Su Yutong fled her home country in 2010, she thought she would find safety.
However, even while living in exile in Germany, she discovered she is not free from China's reach. From Berlin, Voice of America's Liam Scott has Su's story.
Su Yutong has become a skilled chef. Cooking dishes she loved in Beijing connects the journalist with her home country and helps fill the long periods spent home alone. The reason for her self-imposed isolation: years of attacks and threats from China.
I keep telling the truth, so they want me to shut up, including by threatening me.
Sharing a banned book on Tiananmen Square back in 2010 began Su's troubles. Police raided her home in Beijing and held her under house arrest. But with the help of friends, she escaped to Europe. For a while, Germany's capital provided a sense of safety. Su wrote human rights stories for Deutsche Welle and then Radio Free Asia. But the sense of safety soon disappeared. In 2022, strange men started turning up at her building, brought there by an underground sex website that listed her address.
I felt very disgusted and very humiliated, and I had some mental health problems at the time. I was afraid to walk down the street.
The worst was yet to come. In 2023, assailants used Su and two Chinese activists' identities to book rooms at luxury hotels in Berlin and other cities. Then they called in fake bomb threats. Experts say that Su's case is extreme, even for Beijing, which ranks among the worst perpetrators of transnational repression.
The basic tactics of transnational repression are always, they're usually geared towards showing people that they can't get away from the Chinese government.
The driving goal, says Oldberg, is to stop any criticism of China overseas. Neither China's embassy in Berlin nor its foreign ministry responded to VOA's requests for comment. Being targeted is a lonely experience. Over a two-year period, Su barely left her apartment. She says even something as simple as a walk in the park can feel tinged with danger. But now, Su says she feels less afraid.
They didn't expect me to slowly come out of that shadow. I think they should be afraid, not me. They can't shut me up.
Her life is fuller again, but Su's apartment is still sparse. After the 2023 incidents, police recommended she move. When she did, she left nearly everything behind, except the tools she needed to keep reporting. In one way, says Su, there's a sense of comfort in knowing that Beijing is scared too. If they weren't, Su believes, they wouldn't try so hard to silence her. Liam Scott, VOA News, Berlin.
The 2024 Penghu International Fireworks Festival is underway. Nearly 16,000 people flocked to the archipelago to attend the grand opening.
The event featured a 10-minute fireworks display and a first-of-its-kind drone show, where 700 drones took to the sky, forming characters from the Japanese anime series One Piece.
Dazzling fireworks light up the sky. The Penghu International Fireworks Festival is now in its 22nd edition. The team behind Finland's National Day Fireworks was invited to create an unprecedented pyrotechnic feast. Besides fireworks, the grand opening featured a drone show designed in collaboration with the Japanese anime series One Piece. 700 drones spelled out the words, "The 25th anniversary of One Piece." Then, characters from the series appeared in the sky one by one. Penghu Commissioner Chen Guangfu dressed up as Monkey D. Luffy. His administrative team, a crew of Straw Hat Pirates, made a splash as they entered to kick off the event. Neil Gibson, the AIT's Kaohsiung branch chief, flew out to Penghu for the occasion.
This is my second time in Penghu, but my first attending this festival. I'm very impressed and I like it a lot. I've already planned to bring my whole family here, My children too.
Strong winds exceeding level 6 on the Beaufort scale put a damper on the fireworks display, shortening it from 15 to 10 minutes. The drone show was halted, prompting many in the crowd to leave. As the winds eased off, the drones returned to the skies at 9:50 p.m. before a much smaller audience, ending the grand opening on a bittersweet note.
Taiwanese rock singer U Bai was recently in North America for his band's world tour. He sang from Las Vegas to Toronto, pulling in massive crowds.
At the end of his shows, the fans surprised him with a chant he never expected to hear in that part of the world. He chided his audience not to pick up bad habits from China, drawing laughter from the crowd.
With his charisma and powerful voice, Taiwanese rock star Wu Bai is beloved by his fans. As soon as he starts belting out his signature songs, his audiences invariably sing along. Recently in Las Vegas and Toronto, Wu Bai brought powerhouse performances that lasted over 2 hours. Just when he thought he could wrap things up, it happened again. Wu Bai announced that he was done for the day. Fans chanted back, demanding that he, quote, do overtime. There it was, a scene he had never expected to encounter in Toronto. This playful back and forth originated in the second half of last year, when Wu Bai toured 10 Chinese cities. His fans asked for encore after encore, chanting, do overtime. Since then, the chant has been picked up by fans in Australia and North America. And to his credit, the long-suffering singer has kept belting out the tunes, making each concert a satisfying tour de force.
Today, we take you to meet filmmakers Cameron Hansen and Tommaso Muzzi.
Together, they have documented the beauty of Taiwan's East Coast for many years. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang caught up with the filmmakers to learn more about their latest project.
Showcasing the stunning mountains and waters of Taidong, this footage was shot by Cameron Hansen and Tommaso Muzzi. Hansen grew up in Seattle. He traveled to more than 30 countries and fell in love with Taiwan after visiting. In 2013, he moved to Taiwan and started out by teaching English. Driven by his love for filmmaking, he began making films to capture Taiwan's beauty.
Taiwan piqued my interest and came here, started teaching English, but started taking a lot of photos too. So my idea was to teach English part-time and then the other free time I would get more into documentary photography. So I started doing that, and then started getting to know people, and video opportunity came up, so I got back into video and doing the promotional videos for the festivals, working with artists. A little dream come true, actually. Got everything I asked for coming here.
Muzzi, who hails from Italy, moved to Taiwan in 2009. He's interested in Taiwan's indigenous culture and has devoted himself to conducting field records of the Taroko tribe for many years. He has also conducted many local cultural and historical surveys of the East Coast.
Making from 20 years, more than 20 years, and when I arrived to Taiwan, of course, the environment, in particular the natural environment, was pretty different compared with Europe, for example. And so it was very interesting exploring this this world, we can say. This world is a nature world that was so different and so special.
The two filmmakers have worked together for several years, documenting the Taiwan East Coast Land Art Festival. The festival takes place this year from June to September.
Well, I live right near where the concerts happen, the Moonlight Sea concerts. And I get inspired all the time by all the different landscapes, and they change, you know, every season it changes, even time of day, the light will change, and so the same mountain will look different. Different period.
Hualien and Taitung, is this area is very, very, very special, very unique. You know, I mean, even for not only for the cultural issues that, like, you know, including a lot of indigenous people, indigenous culture, but also for the natural environment that I think is very special, like a touching two continent. And so, you know, I mean, is like you say, every location is special.
The duo hopes to continue to capture the beauty of Hualien and Taitung, allowing more people to learn about its history. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang and Ling Dawei in Taipei.
Get ready for a hot weekend. As the season's first plum rain front moves on, temperatures are rebounding nationwide.
Over the weekend, highs will climb above 30 degrees Celsius in all parts of the island. They're set to hit a sizzling 36 degrees in the south.
On Saturday and Sunday, temperatures will be between 30 and 32 degrees in the northern, central, southern and eastern regions. In urban areas, inland areas and mountainous regions of the south, temperatures could be as high as 35 or 36 degrees. On Saturday, be on alert for afternoon thunderstorms in the mountainous regions of southern and central Taiwan. Be especially careful if you're going near streams, because the weather on Sunday could turn quite unstable.
But the heat spell will be short-lived. A new front will move in starting Monday, bring rain or thunderstorms to the north. Starting next Wednesday, temperatures will take a dive as the northeasterly winds strengthen, falling to as low as 15 degrees.